Part 1. The Invasion. There were 4 assault regiments, representing the 4th and 5th Divisions. The run from ship to shore took about half an hour. The first landing came at 9:02 a.m., and in a short while there were 6,000 Marines on the beach. The first waves came in on LVTs, or tracked amphibious vehicles called Amtraks. Subsequent units came in on Higgins boats, known as LCVPs. Landing Craft Vehicle Personnel. The beach segments were designated green, red, yellow, and blue. The Japanese commander, Kurabayashi, had spurned conventional wisdom of protecting the shoreline from invaders and instead held his fire till the 3,000 yards of beach were crammed with Marines, and then shortly after 10 a.m., he opened up from caves, tunnel mouths, and 1,500 pillboxes with heavy artillery, giant mortars, rockets, and anti-tank weapons. All the weapons had been pre-registered for accuracy. American intelligence had reported the sand would cause no problems, but this was dead wrong. The steeply terraced, soft, black, volcanic sand immobilized every type of vehicle, and soon there was a terrible jam-up along the beach, and the Marines themselves had trouble moving in it. The effect of the barrage was devastating, but still the Marines managed to land 30,000 men the first day. Casualties on the first day totaled 2,420, including 501 killed. The weather turned bad, the beaches were closed, and there was chaos everywhere, but the Marines kept coming. Colonel Joseph Alexander, in his definitive account of the campaign, quotes one observer, "The wreckage was indescribable. For 2 miles, the debris was so thick that there were only a few places where landing craft could still get in. The wrecked hulls of scores of landing boats testified to one price we had to pay to put our troops ashore. Tanks and half-tracks lay crippled where they had bogged down in the coarse sand. Amphibian tractors, victims of mines and well-aimed shells, lay flopped on their backs. Cranes, brought ashore to unload cargo, tilted at insane angles, and bulldozers were smashed in their own roadways." On the third night, 50 kamikaze planes from Katari Air Base near Yokosuka attacked offshore, crashing into and sinking the escort carrier USS Bismarck C, damaging several others, and putting the USS Saratoga out of the war. All the kamikazes were lost. The number of casualties from these attacks and shore fire during the battle totaled 2,798, including 1,917 wounded. In the first 5 chapters, an infantryman, a sailor, an Amtrak driver, an operations officer, and a flamethrower talk about the opening days of the fight. Chapter 1. Corporal Richard Nummer, Weapons Company, 28th Marines, 5th Marine Division. "For 40 years, I never even talked about it or nothing, but soon as I seen that flag, I knew I was the one put the hole in it. Not too many people know there's a hole in the flag." I met with Richard Nummer at his modest home in East Detroit in the summer of 2006. Before the Marine Corps opened its new museum in Quantico, Virginia. He was 80 years old, lively and talkative. We hit it off immediately. It turned out he had quit school to join the Corps in 1942. He added that 63 years later, in 2005, he received an honorary diploma from his alma mater, East Detroit High School. "They finally got the government to give you a thing saying they appreciate what you did. So I got my honorary diploma. All those years later, I finally became a high school graduate." Richard laughed when he said this. "I still got the cap and gown they gave me. I went in with the 5th wave. When we got off the ship, we went around and around in circles, rendezvoused, so they could start letting different waves go in, you know, one right after another. So when we went in with the other waves, it seemed like there was no action at all. But just about the time I got there, around 10 o'clock or 10:30, we start running in. That's when they really opened up. I was in a Higgins boat,